Good morning, everyone. I hope you are well. I hope you're staying safe and healthy. I'm dressed a little casually for a service of worship in God's house. I wore my Canada shirt simply because I've been thinking a lot this week about the snowbirds and the loss of Captain Jen Casey. So I wanted to wear something that is a tribute to them, but also a reminder to the rest of us of the resilience of Canadians, and that we naturally give comfort and compassion to one another. I'm going to start with a rather personal question. When you pray to God, what sorts of things do you talk about? Now, that likely depends on the day, world events, how your life is unfolding at the time. Are your prayers relaxed and open, or are they somewhat formal and you worry about the wording? Sunday school children were asked to write their prayers to God, and many of them were collected into a book. 7-year-old Cindy wrote, "Thank you for telling Mom to let me have new shoes. They're pink and they're sparkly with a big bow, and if you're there on Sunday, I'll let you see them." An 8-year-old boy wondered, "Dear God, I don't know how you can love everyone in the world. There are only 4 in my family, and I can hardly stand them sometimes." Prayer is simply a talk with God, a conversation with someone who loves you. How does that normally go when you have a chat with your spouse or sibling or best friend? We're relaxed, trusting, able to talk about anything because there is no judgment. There's no lack of topics, but if there is a quiet lull for a little while, it's a very comfortable silence, and there's no pressure to fill it up again. And that's how it is between God and Jesus. Natural, transparent, and loving. Here in John's Gospel, he records Jesus' final night with his disciples. We are in his last hours before the betrayal, and Jesus turns to God in prayer, but not for himself. Oh no. True to his nature, Jesus prays for us. At least twice, Jesus prays in gratitude for the gift of his disciples. Do you feel like that? That you're a gift from God? That you're a gift that God has in fact given himself? The gift that keeps on giving, as it were. Especially when we share love and purpose with the divine. I hope we all remember God's view of us on those dark days when we've suffered loss or we've had to face truth or we're dealing with stress or unkindness or ignorance, and it makes us feel less than the person God intends for us to be. Try to remember, Jesus thanks God for you. You're a gift to his life and to his ministry. Jesus worries about us, though. He worries because he loves us. "I pray for them," he says to God. In the Greek, to pray is to ask or to request, but it also means to beg, to ask urgently. I am about to leave this world, Jesus says to God, but they will still be here. Protect them, he prays, by the power of your name. Protect us from what? Jesus lived here. He witnessed worldly temptations. He saw, experienced firsthand, the weaknesses of human nature. We are all capable of inflicting serious harm. We are all susceptible to suffering deep wounds, although the latter of those two is not a weakness. Jesus asks urgently for our protection from one another, from ourselves, from the temptation to take the easy road, to tear down rather than build up, from the tendency to believe that we are all sufficient and turn to God only after we've made a right royal mess of things. Protect them, begs Jesus, from doubt when he is no longer among them. Protect them from the impact of fear. Protect them so they may be one as we are one. Can humans know that level of perfect accord? I have a true story for you about a monastery. Several decades ago, this was a thriving, busy place. It was recognized as a community center for those seeking counsel and support and peaceful retreat. The townsfolk enjoyed the grounds for quiet walks and family picnics and listening to the monastery choir practice. The monks were truly brothers, trusting and open. Now every family has squabbles, but those squabbles felt small in comparison to God's purposes for each and all. As the years passed, we've all experienced the church falls out of favor with society, and it ran out of fervor. Fewer and fewer came to join their brotherhood. Their numbers seriously dwindled. The monastery and the grounds became harder to maintain for the few that were left. Fear for their future crept in. Doubt in God's will and God's ways. The singing stopped, and the squabbles became commonplace. It seemed now they had more energy for complaining than much else. Oh, Brother Bob is so lazy. Oh, Brother John is so arrogant. Yeah, well, Father Collins is a control freak. Yeah, but Brother Mark is just dim. On it went. The whole order had changed. Fear and anxiety was bringing out the worst in everyone, and soon the townsfolk just stopped coming. One day, a very elderly and revered old friar came for a silent retreat. He lived with them for many days, not saying a word until the moment of his departure. He turned slowly to Father Collins, who was seeing him out. And the old friar leaned heavily on his cane as he bent close to the father's ear. And he said, "The Christ is among you." He has yet to be revealed. But among you here is his second coming. Well, you can only imagine how fast that piece of news spread. All of the brothers found out very quickly. And everyone began to reflect deeply. Could it be me? Everyone made a focused effort to be kinder, to be more understanding. They tried harder to be gracious with one another. Then they thought, well, what if it's Brother Bob or John or Mark? What if I've been living with the Christ all this time? They worked on being less critical, more patient, more humble. They put more focus on their time with God, and they began to sing again. Townsfolk heard them, and they started coming for picnics again and peaceful retreats. Their brotherhood became well known and became inspiring to other people. And more men were encouraged to accept God's call to join this ministry. The monastery and its life in Christ thrived because they looked for and began to recognize Christ among them. They were one in faith and in purpose again. It sounds beautiful. Maybe it sounds unreachable. But we know that with God, all things are possible. There is fear and there is stress right now. And there is temptation to give in and be our lesser selves. But Christ Himself is praying for us. God is working to protect us from the temptation to despair and stress and anxiety about the future. He's praying for us to anticipate what God is doing and to be ever hopeful. I have not been my best self. I have let worry and tension distract and even erode my time with God. But we need to all keep praying. Keep praying with Christ that we will be one, that we will recognize the divine in one another and respond in kind. Amen. As we come to prayer, there are so many situations in our world that we hear about all the time. We're maybe searching for some good news these days as we're all getting quarantine fatigue. We need to keep praying for our frontline workers. We need to keep praying for our essential workers. We need to keep praying for those who have lost someone to this disease. Praying for those who can't even visit their loved ones in hospital right now because they're not allowed in. Hold all of these people in prayer. Let's join our hearts. Divine Trinity of creation, redemption, and sustained hope, unite us in faith, one body in Christ and Spirit, though necessarily separate this morning. Encourage us in gratitude for your gifts, meaningful purpose and certain comfort, devoted family and steadfast friends, endless life and eternal peace. Words often seem insufficient. Instead, for all the blessings that overwhelm and undergird our lives, receive in this silence the grateful contents of our hearts as we offer our random thoughts as unnamed emotions in this silence. Loving God, we serve your purposes in part by offering prayers for the concerns of others. The current global reality has turned a spotlight on other crises, injustice and inequality. We pray for the men and women and children suffering by extreme poverty. Grant them the shelter of your protection and human compassion. We pray for those oppressed by radical bias or unjust authority or rampant greed. For the sake of every creature in all creation, we pray for your spirit of grace and fairness to move among your people and enter the heart of every decision maker. May the abundant resources of this world, tangible and intangible, be directed to the well-being of all, rather than profits for the very few. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you, or claim they don't need you in these times, or who wonder where you've gone from their lives. Reveal to them your strength and encouragement in the midst of their anxiety or despair. May they feel your compassion and peace through their grief or loneliness. May we all recognize your goodness at work in our lives every day. We offer this and every prayer with faith and confidence in the powerful love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us go in his peace. Let us go seeking his peace in all that we do and say. May the grace of God, the redeeming mercy of Jesus Christ, and the sustaining fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us and all whom we love this day and always. Say it with me at home. Amen.